Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to another edition of the 40 Scenes Fire American Soccer Show, the USA on the road, again over in Europe at the Swiss, as it ends in a 1-1 draw, not a loss, a draw, even though they did go down to 10 men on a red card by Jose Altidore. Actually, I think that's the fastest double yellow I've ever seen without the yellow card ever. Being shown, well, technically it was shown. It was in the hands of the referee. Unfortunately, he decided not to flash it at Josie because obviously he said the magic words and off he went. But there is some positives here, definitely some positives here as we go forward and discuss this friendly. We'll be joined very shortly by Neil Morris of WRAL Sports Blog over in Cary, Raleigh, and Durham, North Carolina, as we get set to go here on this post-game show. The United States, you know what? There are some positives that you can take out of this match. There are some positives you can definitely take from this match, unlike what happened over in Denmark, and basically it was mostly the Nicklas Bentner show when he scores his hat trick, even though the U.S. took two leads in that one. Obviously, the 1-0 lead becoming 1-1 at half. Then, at the beginning of the second, it was 2-1 U.S., and then became 2-2, then 3-2 for Denmark. So, there are some positives you can take out of this. Obviously, the negatives are looming kind of large here. And once again, it's conceding another lead. It's conceding that one-goal lead after a hell of a free kick by Breck Shea. Breck Shea going out there and just absolutely doing a job. And you know what? That was a hell of a strike, and we didn't have to worry anymore about stoppage time, because basically that was it. Joining me now, Neil Morris of WRAL Sports Blog. And Neil, is getting set to talk about this show. I mean, I think there's been more positives than negatives in this match, but obviously the negatives will be the loss of a lead and going down to 10 men.
Sure, and thanks for having me again, Daniel. I mean, you know, Will Parchman on Twitter, when I was following him, he said the U.S. national team is a narrative machine, aren't they? You're watching this match, and you're sort of relishing in the opportunity that maybe finally this team is going to sort of break the mem that they've established, you know, in 2015. And frankly, today and not some of their top stars, mm-hmm. that majority mm-hmm. of the game were ready to break that mold.
Yep, absolutely.
For circumstances that we'll talk about in a second, and then all of a sudden,
and all of a sudden that goal happens.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yep, absolutely, and that's really the tough thing right there, Neil, because once again, and obviously these are friendlies. We know they're friendlies. Sometimes in this type of situation, the results don't matter. But obviously for supporters, for the national team, you know, they want to see a solid performance for 90 minutes. I know the media wants to see a solid performance for 90 minutes. And at the moment, we're getting 80 minutes of solid performances, and we're just not getting that final 10 that should be here when you have a lead like the U.S. did. And just to go back on the goal, my God, a great free kick by Breck Shea within the final minute of the first half, no stoppage time at all. And he just, oh my God, it's just, I don't know how much more you can describe it. It was an absolutely fantastic, well-worked free kick by Breck Shea to give the USA that lead just as the halftime whistle blew.
Well, Shea.
Yep.
He's always done better with country than club. And, you know, he's so. You know, Shea. And sort of a star-crossed affair. What. Players who I think. And Jurgen Klinsmann certainly encourages this, but would benefit from testing themselves at the highest level in Europe or elsewhere. It's
yep.
Less where he sub 15 minutes, first team training, first team preseason, and although the season just began, first team minutes during the regular season, and unlike.
Uh-huh.
Or four than they usually do. You know, Shea's getting minutes. And I think, you know, again, you know, Shea can be great one day and horrible the next. But, you know, today.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be interested to see what he would do against top flight international competition. But. Without having to do it himself, his center backs who were out to lunch most of the day, he was commanding the air. Had a couple of really terrific headers that not only cleared away chances into the attack.
Absolutely.
So, I think Alejandro Bedoya. He seems whether he's a defensive liability or not is a question, but not everybody on the field has to be, you know, solidly a defensive asset in order to be valuable. Promising cross, the 32nd Bradley should have put away. I was very impressed with Bedoya, just for no other reason than not just his passing, but him also putting. Who were good and bad, and we can talk about that. But those two were the ones that really stood out.
Yeah, absolutely. Bedoya really had a great game today. You know what? My friend who is in Los Angeles, Dave Denholm, who also works for Fox Sports, and he's also a Galaxy season ticket holder. So obviously he's been talking about Jossy Zardes. You know, he should be up top. He should not be in the midfield. I've said once or twice that, yes, he should be up top with Josie or maybe with Johansson. But, you know, just like every other club and every other national team, there is a depth chart. And I know that Klinsmann wants to have Zardes out on the field. And at the moment, he has him in the midfield role. But he has him back up top in this one. And I really think you're seeing the real promise of Zardes, depending on what goes on with Altidore and what goes on with Johansson. But obviously, Zardes, I think, showed some great moves out there. I thought he attacked very well, great crossing ability, and at the same time, he's going to be the future for the national team, but we'll see if he'll be used coming off the bench when the Gold Cup comes this July, and of course, once again, World Cup qualifying is going to start very early for the U.S. It's going to be this coming November.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I spent a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
His sort of his scoring ability is not up to snuff yet. But what
uh-huh.
Zardes, although I do, it's that I like somebody who can team up top with Altidore, somebody like Zardes who has both high, be that final bit of pressure on the opponent's back line. I mean, you know, if he's coming, and I do too, you're utilizing, they're going to have to collapse around him, or at least pay attention to him. And whenever that happens, especially when you're playing up the middle, there's going to be space either for that second striker or to get it out to a winger, or it's just going to relax the pressure on everybody else. And that is the kind of big target striker, but if you can get somebody top of that, didn't do much on paper in the first half, his press, including Bradley to a certain extent. And so, no, I absolutely agree with that. I don't think Zardes himself how he develops.
Right, absolutely. I want to talk about Jozy Altidore. Making the runs that he did, I thought he had an okay game. I don't know what happened to him in this game. He seemed to be very upset about either how he was being defended, maybe he got fouled a little too hard here and there, and he had a discussion with the referee for the first time. But I think let's not get to that red card yet, because to me, I saw him twice, once in the first half and once in the second half before he got sent off. He grabbed his marker, or he grabbed his defender, and he spun him around and knocked him down. The referee decided not to call a foul. And I thought, okay, Jozy, you're being lucky here. You know, you're not getting no whistle being blown for a foul, no yellow card, no nothing. And then when he does foul a Swiss defender, obviously he was going to get booked for that foul, because that's it. You've had enough. You know, I've given you two free shots, and that should be the end of it. And, of course, he says the magic word. And I didn't even see the referee show him the yellow. It was in his hand, but he didn't show him the yellow. And he goes, that's it. Red card, you're done for the foul. And you said the magic word to my face. I don't know what happened to Jozy in this game. Usually he's never that frustrated or that flustered. But unfortunately, I think Jozy Altidore emotionally was very poor today. And I have to say it, I think he deserved his red card, even though that's the first time in a national team jersey he's been sent off.
Well, he said option. You know, the thing about sent off is going to be, well, it's, you know, that let's not get too worked up about it. It's just a friendly. But, you know, I was thinking about it. You know, I actually turned that line of thought around, because if it's just to the result, who's had bad luck in late games, and here he is mid second half picking up a few seconds before at midfield. So he was irritated that he didn't get a call there. He made a beeline to the player with the ball, took him down from behind. It was an obvious yellow card. And then he throws two bombs.
Yep.
The thing. But, you know, my are you being, frankly, selfish in a situation where, no, is it life or death? Not at all. But a team that has late in game, you're going to all of a sudden, you know, turn petulant, get yourself sent off, and then lead the rest of your teammates to try to kill a game off. Now, all, because it wasn't like Switzerland was a juggernaut out there. But if we're just talking about Josie, you know, that's a disappointing situation. And it's just, you got to know the time and you got to know the place and you got to know, you know, this isn't a tournament competition, but, you know, getting a 1-0 win away at Switzerland would have been a really nice result. And he did his part in the second half to keep that from happening.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate thing there, because they were playing really well. Obviously, Michael Bradley didn't have a good game either. He made some nice runs. He had a couple of chances that were good, but I thought he lost the ball too easily. At the same time, he got the ball taken away from him too easily. I thought that opportunity they had before Josie was sent off, where Chandler crossed it in, it was a nice save by the keeper for Switzerland. The rebound went right to Bradley. He chested it down, but he allowed the defender to come from behind to poke it away, and he couldn't tee up his shot. So I really thought Michael Bradley had a decent game, more on the poor side than on the good side. But, you know, that's a situation where for the U.S. and for Bradley, and I understand he's more up high than he should be, because obviously they didn't have someone normally up there that he would be back in his defensive role, and he's playing the ball better from a deeper position in the midfield. But still, you feel like Michael Bradley, I don't know if he sleepwalked this game or he just, maybe it's an off night.
Well, I mean, I don't think he's sleepwalking. We've seen sort of performances like this from him for several years, but everyone always lets him off the hook, because anytime they play him at the number 10, they say that that's not his natural position, and anything he does bad is sort of wiped away. And there's some truth to that. I mean, Bradley should be playing deeper. He's not an attacking mid. I mean, I'd much rather see someone else there. I mean, I know Mix Discaru was not here on this roster, but I much prefer to see him up top with Bradley in the back, sort of in the regular setup. And I'm a Discaru fan, so that's another topic for another day. But no, you're right. And some of those miscues are things that he does a lot. I think he tends to over dribble at times, and some of his passing can be erratic. But I'm even.
Mm-hmm.
In the position where the coach put him, it was a team where he, you know, could have done a little better as far as putting balls away, but that's not his strong suit. It never has been. But with Josie being petulant, and then you've got this and some other younger guys like that. Having, you know, Michael Bradley as the anchor of that group, which has a certain level of, which today had a certain level of immaturity, both emotionally and age-wise, was fine. And although they didn't score as much as they should have, I think he probably lent a little bit of calm to them and a little bit of stability that they might not have otherwise had if there had been another youngster there in the middle. So, for today's purposes, I overlooked a lot with Bradley, but in general, I'm totally with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we look ahead, of course, to the schedule, the big, big friendly coming up in April down in San Antonio at the Alamo Dome, a sold-out Alamo Dome. Once again, that border war, the United States will be hosting Mexico. And, you know, when you're coming back home playing against, I would say, a solid opponent against Denmark. Obviously, Bettner scores whenever he wants to when he plays for his national team, not for his club side, which is a sad thing. But and then you're seeing them, of course, in this game where I thought they had a very solid performance till the Altidore situation popped up. And, of course, they did hold on for the draw, which I think in a certain way that's a positive result, because even though the performance was probably 75% to 80% good, the last 10% was not. The last 10% was not so good. Of course, we're not going with 100% because it's a 90-minute game. you just wonder, you know, what Klinsmann is going to do with that back line. At the same time, maybe it's now a sense of maturity with some of these young defenders they're bringing over.
I think if anybody could figure out the U.S. back line conundrum, they'd be a wealthy man. I mean, it's easy and appropriate to pick apart some of the individual pieces. With as much good as I thought the U.S. did today, both in the midfield and the front. And I thought, just to throw out a couple of more names, I thought Morales looked okay at times.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny Williams was okay. Nobody was really egregious, at least from the mid to the front. Timmy Chandler, I mean, if these friendlies accomplish anything, I hope they accomplish sort of the end of his rotational presence. I mean, it's just him at right back is just not working, and you've got other options that should probably be looked at. I know Jurgen Klinsmann wants to play Yedlin at right wing up front, and I understand that, and I don't even really have a disagreement with that, but I wouldn't mind seeing Yedlin in the back with Bedoya in the front and see how that works. And then you just got other options that you can put out there. But Timmy Chandler was just probably the worst player on the field as far as the U.S. was concerned today.
I agree.
And then the only rival that he had as far as I was concerned was shown out in the last 15 minutes was John Brooks, who just positionally, once the heat was on, he looked lost out there and was just wandering all over the place. And the Switzerland goal, he'd moved way out to the right side of the box and left that far post area which is where he should have been marking someone totally exposed. Meanwhile, he's standing out on an island not doing anything. What do you do? I thought Shea was fine as a compliment, but ultimately, it's your center backs, and you need at least a capable right back. And I'm beginning to sort of crystallize in my own mind that John Brooks is not going to be the answer. Timmy Chandler is certainly not the answer, but offensively or defensively, I don't see what he adds. Period. Unless he's just going to be on the bench, and that's fine. Maybe not even then. But ultimately, no matter who you put back there, I mean, nobody's really acquitted themselves too well, whether it's Ream or Beisler or whomever. And ultimately, it has to do with the defense not having time to work together. And, you and I have talked sort of off air before. I mean, it's almost to the point where, just go find the best backline duo or tandem that you can find in some team somewhere, MLS, or if there's a couple of Americans playing next to each other in another country, and give them a try. I mean, just at least put somebody who's used to working together and see if that's an improvement, because you get these talented but disparate parts back there, and if there's one weak link, the entire thing collapses, and we're seeing it over and over and over.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I think it's time for DeAndre Yedlin. Obviously, Jurgen Klinsmann wants Yedlin in a offensive-minded role in the midfield on the right side, and I agree with you. Look, if he's not going to replace Bedoya, who's been doing a very good job and who had another solid game today, I agree with you there. Bedoya had another solid game in the midfield on the right side. Look, it doesn't hurt to have DeAndre Yedlin on the back line as a right back. And he can still do the same thing. He just has to defend a little bit more than normal. But you know what? DeAndre Yedlin is that promising player that we all saw from the World Cup and the promising player that Tottenham Hotspur brought over that they wanted to use him in the future. Now, once again, Klinsmann has to allow Yedlin to go out there as a starter. I mean, obviously he's not getting minutes right now with Tottenham because, like I've been saying many times here, depth chart. But still, Yedlin has that ability that he can definitely be on that back line and flourish. And I agree with you. I think it's time that Yedlin gets into the starting 11 as a right back. And then later on, when he wants to switch it up to Klinsmann and give Bedoya a rest, or if Bedoya is going to get an injury sometime with Nantes in the French Ligue 1, that DeAndre Yedlin is the guy. How did you like Yarbrough in goal today for that second half? Obviously, it's not his fault the goal was scored on the corner because they were already down to 10 men. I don't fault Yarbrough at all. But how did you like his play in goal?
Capable, but nothing spectacular. I thought he was a little antsy at times, not surprisingly. I mean, it's his first run out. But it's not like he's a standout in the Mexican leagues either. I mean, he's I'm glad thinking to myself, I know with Tim Howard not around, let's give somebody other than Nick Raimondo a chance at some point. And I didn't know whether he might go with Yarbrough or with Cody Cropper, who's come in for a couple of camps. He went with Yarbrough. He looked. I didn't think he showed me anything spectacular, but, you know, is he worth another run out or two? Sure. But the one thing the U.S. shouldn't be short on are goalkeepers. And so give him a look, and Cropper's still around, and you've still got a host of other youngsters in the system. You know, give them all a look. But I didn't think Yarbrough looked like somebody who was threatening to supplant Raimondo or even Garza or even Tim Howard or anybody else anytime soon. That said, I'm not sure that Neuer would have been able to compensate for that back line today. So I can't really fault him for much.
Yeah, same here. I thought he had a decent run. I thought Raimondo in the first half, it looked like there are times he was basically left hung to dry by his back line, and you don't want to see that happen, obviously. You want to see Nick Raimondo have a solid game, a solid first half. I thought he did have a solid first half. Just at times you're wondering what this back line was doing. And all I can say is that while, thankfully, this is a 1-1 draw, it could have been a lot worse, but thankfully the defense was there. And once again, Breck Shea, thunderbolt of a free kick. When he smacked it, I swear, Neil, either it was going to hit off woodwork, wide of the near post, over the crossbar, but instead it goes right inside the upper near 90. That was just a hell of a shot.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, it's always important to have a dead ball specialist out there. And, you know, if Shea can fill that role, that's great. But at the end of the day, you know, while it's good to have him out there, he's going to have to fill the defensive void too. But I thought he did an adequate job of that today.
And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, Neil Morris is a really, really very workable reporter on soccer. That's why the phone went off. It's just another source giving him a tip of what's going on with the Railhawks and the NASL as well as U.S. soccer news. Neil's very busy, so I can understand why his phone would go off. But obviously, Neil, before I let you go, just some final thoughts about this friendly. Once again, I think it could have been better. It wasn't that bad of a match. There were some good, obviously some bad, and some bizarre. But, look, they deserve the draw.
Well, they deserve the draw, but frankly, they deserve the win, too. I mean, let's just be honest about it. Well, had the opportunity to do today was, again, like I guess as we led off with, to break that narrative. And if they could have gotten a win at Switzerland and broken that sort of that late game swoon narrative that we talk about, it would have been as productive as a friendly can be, to be quite honest. And this isn't some January camp. This, you know, we're now almost in April. So at the same, while there's plenty, you know, they leave this two friendly set having, you know, exacerbated the same sort of problems that they've been plaguing them all year. And in that respect, it was a lost opportunity.
Absolutely. All right, Neil, thank you very much for the time. I always appreciate it. And have a good afternoon. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate it.
No problem at all. It's Neil Morris from WRAL Sports Blog in Raleigh, Durham, and Cary, North Carolina. Also covers the Carolina Railhawks. You probably heard him yesterday with the 2015 NASL Spring Season Preview Show. This is Daniel Feuerstein. Once again, the final score, the United States draw with the Swiss, 1-1. Thank you for listening, and join me next week as we get ready for some more For Your Scenes Fire, American Soccer Show, as well as CONCACAF Champions League and CONCACAF World Cup qualifying review. Bye-bye for now, and as always, enjoy your football. Bye-bye, everybody.